Anyway, this is somewhat of the nature of a digression. So let us get back to this main question of the approach to Buddhism. Let's discuss it to begin with in very general terms, and after that, towards the end, if we have time, I'm not quite sure whether we shall have, we shall discuss it with specific reference to conditions here in this country. Now, it's possible, of course, to approach Buddhism in very many different ways. And some of these ways are more adequate than other ways. A few are even positively wrong. What we have to do in the first place is to approach Buddhism as Buddhism. Now, what does one mean by that? It surely seems obvious enough that one should approach Buddhism as Buddhism. But it isn't really so. We don't always do that. In the course of the first talk, religion was defined as the achievement of a state of psychological and spiritual wholeness, and in that state relating to others, to other people, and to reality, ultimate reality. It's also, religion is also the sum total of all the doctrines, all the teachings, all the methods conducive to this particular achievement. So Buddhism reflects this definition. Perhaps it reflects it more purely and more clearly, in a less distorted form, than any other teaching. In its own language, Buddhism is the way to enlightenment, is the raft, or the Dharma is the raft, to carry us over to the other shore of Nirvana, perfect peace of mind, freedom, insight, wisdom, compassion, and so on. Or in more modern terms, Buddhism or the Dharma is the instrument, as I've already said, of the higher evolution of mankind. The evolution of mankind, each individual human being, that is to say, from an unenlightened to an enlightened state, a state or condition of supreme Buddhahood. So unless one understands this, to begin with, this above all, one cannot really approach Buddhism. One can hardly even begin to approach it. One may approach something, or think that one is approaching something, but that will not be Buddhism. At best, it will be a rather serious, a rather unfortunate distortion of Buddhism. Now let me give you just one or two examples of this. From time to time, at the Vihara here, we have the pleasure and privilege of receiving visitors from different Buddhist countries. Sometimes from Thailand, sometimes from Burma, from Japan, Tibet, and so on. Now some months ago we had a very charming visitor from Japan. He was a Shin Buddhist priest, that is of the Shin sect, quite a prominent figure in the religious life, the Buddhist life of his own country. And he was on a world tour. So he naturally called on us, called at the Buddhist Society. And in the course of conversation, he says to me, "I must tell you about something which pleases me very much." He said, "On my way from Japan to London, I called in at various places, and amongst others, I called in at Rome." And he said, "Not only did I call in at Rome, but I had the honor of an audience with the Pope." He said, "Not only that, but the Pope gave me a letter. And in this letter, it expressed very high appreciation of Buddhism." Now when I heard this, to be quite frank, I became a bit suspicious. I thought, well, the Pope expressing high appreciation of Buddhism doesn't sound quite Pope-like to me. So I said, "Have you any objection if I see this letter?" So he was delighted to show it to me. He produced it out of his briefcase. It was on a beautiful, big, thick sheet of parchment-like paper with a coat of arms, an enormous, magnificent coat of arms embossed at the head. And it was, in fact, by the Pope, or from the Pope. Though, rather interestingly, it didn't actually carry his signature. It was just on his letterhead, his embossed official letterhead. And he did indeed speak about Buddhism in the course of this letter, and he did express a certain appreciation, and the good Japanese priest, he read it out, beaming, and the Pope had written that Buddhism is to be commended because it's an excellent human teaching. An excellent human teaching. Now, to anyone who knows a little of Catholicism, a little of Orthodox Christianity, it's very clear what this means. The two kinds of religion, revealed religion and natural religion, transcendental, one might say, and merely humanistic. So Buddhism is neatly classified as a human teaching. It's a product, it's a teaching of just a man. Not of any really religious figure, not of a saviour, not of a son of God, certainly, but just an ordinary human being. So it's quite good on that level. In other words, it's just a system of ethics, nothing more than that. Not capable of leading one to salvation. So the Japanese priest didn't quite get this because he wasn't quite familiar with Western thought, Western culture, or with Catholicism in particular. He thought that Buddhism was being praised and appreciated in being described as an excellent human teaching. He didn't realize that it was very subtly being undermined and depreciated. So one finds that if one takes up books on Buddhism written by Orthodox Roman Catholics, this is the general line about Buddhism which is being taken. They say, yes, Buddhism is very good, Buddhism is very fine, it's very noble, but it's a human creation. It's not part of revelation, and therefore it cannot really conduce to salvation. You can't get liberation through Buddhism. I remember one of these writers, after a quite, one may say, quite scholarly survey of certain Buddhist teachings, he ends up his book on the very last page, the last para, by saying, what a pity. All these millions of people embark on this raft of the Dharma of Buddhism. Millions of people. And the raft simply founders. They all go down with it. Huh? What a pity. So this is the sort of official attitude among Roman Catholics, including those who write about Buddhism. They don't regard Buddhism as a way to enlightenment. In other words, they don't approach it on its own terms. Therefore, there can be no real understanding of Buddhism. There can be only distortion of Buddhism. One might say there can't be any genuine approach unless one approaches Buddhism as a way to enlightenment. If one doesn't do that, they're just a very learned, scholarly, missing of the mark. Now, the Roman Catholics aren't the only offenders by any means. I've just given one example. One might cite also the example of the Hindus. In the course of many years spent in India, I've come up against this very, very often. The Hindus also, especially Orthodox Hindus, particularly the Brahmins, have very great difficulty in approaching Buddhism as Buddhism. As soon as you mention Buddhism to them, and this has been my experience, literally thousands of times, you just mention the word Buddhism, and they say at once, without even waiting for another word on the subject, oh yes, it's just a branch of Hinduism. Huh? Only a branch of Hinduism. It's very significant, they always use the word only. Huh? And sometimes I ask, well, why can't you say it's a branch of Hinduism? Why say only a branch? You see, because this little word only at once gives you a clue. The whole idea is one of depreciation or limitation. So one finds even quite good Hindu scholars taking a look at Buddhism, sorting out certain doctrines, and finding that certain doctrines are not found in Hinduism, certain doctrines of Buddhism are not found in Hinduism, so they say, well, these can't be part really of Buddhism at all. Buddhism is just a branch of Hinduism, it's a part of it, no difference at all. So if there are any doctrines in Buddhism which are not found in Hinduism, then these are corruptions which have been introduced by the designing Buddhist monks. And this is what they say explicitly in some of their works. For instance, the Anatma doctrine, the Buddhist doctrine of non-self, Anatmavada or Anattavada. Some Hindu scholars, even Dr. Radhakrishnan, try to argue quite seriously that the Buddha did not teach this. This was the invention of the monks later on. The same with the non-theistic attitude of Buddhism. Some even go so far as to try to argue that the Buddha did in fact believe in God. But he didn't like to tell his followers that he believed in God because it might upset them. So some scholars have actually seriously put down all this in scholarly works. So this is just an example, another example of the way in which Buddhism is distorted. Because people are not willing, not ready to approach Buddhism simply as Buddhism. So if we want really to understand it, really to approach it, Buddhism has to be approached as Buddhism. We have to understand that essentially it's a means to psychological and spiritual wholeness. It's a way to enlightenment. It's the instrument, as I've called it, of the higher evolution. Unless we understand this, we won't really be able to approach Buddhism at all. We may approach something, as I've said, but it won't be Buddhism. It'll just be our own distorted version of it, our own subjective interpretation, not the objective truth about Buddhism itself. Now the culmination of this sort of approach, approaching Buddhism as Buddhism, is of course what we call the going for refuge. Going for refuge to the three jewels, or three gems, that is to say the Buddha, the enlightened teacher, the Dharma, or the way to enlightenment, and the Sangha, the community of those who, side by side, are walking that way or path leading to enlightenment. Now, I've often spoken about the three jewels and the three refuges, so there's no need for me to expatiate on this particular subject today. But even if one doesn't take the step of actually going for refuge through the Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, even if one doesn't go so far as that, one should at least very seriously ask oneself whether one does regard Buddhism as the means to enlightenment, the instrument of the higher evolution, or whether we have any other idea or lack of ideas about it. We should ask ourselves, as it were, that are we coming here? Are we coming to this place? Are we coming to this vihara and trying to learn about Buddhism with this understanding that we're trying to approach something which is a way to enlightenment, trying to lay hold of the instrument of our own individual higher evolution from a non-enlightened to an enlightened state? This is the question which we should ask ourselves.